My story started in 1971 in Annapolis. I was 21 years old. I had just gotten back from touring the East Coast, trying to get my then boyfriend into Canada to avoid the draft. And on the way, we accidentally found Woodstock, had a lovely time, spent all of our money and couldn't cross the border, so we had to come back home again. So we were back home in Annapolis, and I was living with my friend Pat. Now let me tell you a little bit about Pat. Pat was an interesting girl. She was one of 13 children, 5 from the first mother, 8 from the second mother. The two mothers were sisters. So they were sister, brother, cousins, sort of. And Pat had alopecia, which I don't know if you know what that is, but she had not a hair on her body. So she wore wigs and false eyelashes, and she was a living Barbie doll. She was absolutely beautiful. She also had balls of steel. Nothing scared this woman. So we're in our apartment, and we get a phone call, and it's my two friends down the street. And Jim and Yuri, they're a couple, very flamboyant pair. And Jim says, "You have to come down here right now. There's something weird going on in this house." So we were like, okay. And it's a nice, crisp fall day. We put on a light jacket and sauntered on down the block. And when we got there, Jim and Yuri had a card table set up in the parlor. Now, this house was one of the oldest houses in Annapolis. Very, very old house. And Jim was he worked for the local theater group. There was a little Shakespearean outdoor theater group. And Jim, you could spot him anywhere because he always wore a black opera cape that he would often, as he was walking about. So he was easy to spot. His partner, Yuri, on the other hand, had ties to some czar. I'm not sure which one. And he was a Russian Jew, and he had a trust fund. So money was no object for him. So anyway, they were living in this old house, and they had a card table set up, and they were playing cards. And they said, "Just sit down, just wait." So we sat there for a minute pretending to play cards when all of a sudden the chandelier, beautiful big cut glass chandelier above our heads, stood at an angle like this, 90-degree angle, and then went back down again. It didn't blow, it didn't jiggle, it didn't wiggle. It just went right up and right back down again. Spooky. So everybody's Yuri's starting to whine a little bit, you know, and we're all getting a little nervous. And I said, "Well, I've got to go to the bathroom." Jim said, "Fine, it's upstairs. I know where it was." So I started up the stairs, and at the top of the stairs, there was a dresser. And on the dresser, there was a lamp, because it was an old house, and there weren't a lot of light switches and things around. So they had this lamp, and the lamp was on. And as I started to walk up the steps, the lamp went off. So I went up and I turned the lamp back on again, went into the bathroom, came back, the lamp was off. So I turned the lamp back on. And I started walking down the steps and the lamp went off. So I got back down to the parlor and I said, "Jim, there's something wrong with the lamp. You need to get it fixed." And he said, "No, there's nothing wrong with the lamp." He said, "It's been doing that since we got here. It's just, it goes on and off." He said, "We plugged it in other places. It's fine. It just does that. It's like somebody doesn't want it on." And I said, "Well, okay, this is getting really strange and spooky and weird. What else is going on?" And he said, "We felt something in the living room." Now, the living room and the parlor were basically one big room. They just separated by these big glass doors. So Pat, Miss Balls of Steel, walks in there and sits down on the sofa. And she's sitting there and she says, "Nothing's going on. I'm fine." She says, "I'm a little cold." And then all of a sudden she kind of went, "Ugh." And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Somebody just put their arm around me." And when we looked, you could see like this foggy, misty, cloudy thing next to her on the sofa. And she jumped up and came back in, and she was cold as all get out. Her hands were icy cold. Now your nose gets cold, you know, when you're cold. She was cold all over. So this was really starting to spook us. So we decided to pull the mattresses from the bedrooms upstairs and sleep in the parlor, all of us together with the lights on. And we talked all night, and being the kind of creative people that we were, we decided we needed to have a seance to figure out what was going on in this very spooky house. So we didn't know anybody in Annapolis who fit the bill. You know, we didn't know any gypsies. We didn't know any mediums. We didn't know any Madame Teresa's or anybody that lived in Annapolis. So we did the next best thing. We went to Baltimore. So we went to Baltimore. That's annoying. Okay, so we went to Baltimore, and we found Madame Rosalie. And Madame Rosalie said for a fee she would be glad to come and do a seance in Annapolis. So the next day she shows up, and she's got all of her accoutrements. She's got her like fringy tablecloth and the crystal ball and the incense and her scarf with all the coins and stuff on it. So we all sit around. She says, everybody hold hands. So we all held hands. And she goes into her trance, and we're all like, kind of shaken and scared. And she says, okay, I see a man with a white hat, and his chest is all red, and he died in the house. Okay. Then she says, oh, and I see an older man. Something's wrong with his leg, and he's moaning. Okay, and we had heard moaning. I forgot to add that. We did hear some moaning in the house. And she said, and I saw a dark child in the basement that had died. So we thanked her, gave her the money, said goodbye, spent another night on the mattresses. Somebody asked me why we didn't go to our apartment. I don't know. We just stayed there. And so the next day we decided to talk to the lady who owned the house. She was in a nursing home in Annapolis. So we found her, and we didn't tell her what we had done. We just said, can you tell us anything you know about the history of the house, anybody who died? She said, well, seems to me my great-grandfather was bit by a dog on the leg and died a long, horrible death. And she said, and then I think at one point the house was rented out to sailors, and it seems to me somebody told me about a knife fight upstairs. And then we said something about, well, do you know of any children that might have died like down below? And she didn't know of anybody, but she said at one time the house had been used by the Underground Railroad, and it had tunnels down below. And, you know, people would be brought up from the south through the woods and the fields and things, and they would come to Annapolis, and they would be housed in these tunnels and basements underground until a ship came from the north, from Philadelphia or New York or somewhere, to take them north. So we figured that was probably somebody else who died. Well, 2 days later, we all moved. We had already moved, but they moved out, and we all got in a big house together. We had a lovely summer that summer in the big old house. And from that day on, that house is known in Annapolis as the Haunted House.